Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Uncensored Podcast, and today I am joined with
Henry Heidemann.
Henry is from right here in Oxford. He's a big Ole Miss fan, one of the biggest Ole Miss fans that I know. And so we're just going to be spitting all the ball about Ole Miss. And so, Henry, I want to go back to the beginning of the season. You know, everyone was calling this just a rebuild team. We had lost a lot in the portal, in the draft. What would you say has surprised you the most so far about this team?
I would just say sort of the effort they show even when they're down. I mean, we've had a couple games early on, Kentucky, we were down, and even just sort of resiliency. Even to Washington State when the team was down, it's really – that was a game where really everything could have fallen apart, and the team really just picked themselves up out of really nothing. And then even last week, Florida down at halftime, just really the offense couldn't get going at some point. We just dig ourselves out of a hole that we dug, but just dig ourselves out of a hole and win that game.
What were your expectations at the start of the year?
I wasn't on really not 10 wins. I was thinking more 7-8. You know, I wasn't really confident about the offense really losing that many pieces, especially the defensive line. And really, I think where my expectations were past, what is the defense, even though they've had bad games, I think really just sort of shows you how the portal affects college football now, that there really is no expectations. Really, the expectations can be unlimited every single year.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it, because coming in, I was like, a yacht Austin Simmons who's supposed to be the truth, the guy that's – because we all saw him in the Georgia game last year. He looked really good in the one drive he got. And so – when he went down and Trinidad goes in, what was your immediate reaction to us starting Trinidad?
I thought it was going to be a dogfight. You know, I thought we were going to rely on defense a lot. And I didn't know, because I was a big Simmons believer. I still am a big Simmons believer. I think he's great. But Trinidad just had a bunch of questions about him. I mean, where in the world's Ferris State? I had to Google it myself. I had no clue. And really, he's balled out. Balled out, I think, more than anyone could even comprehend.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to say, because, especially with Trinidad coming from Ferris State or whatever it is, like, I didn't really know where, like, I didn't even, like, he came in a couple times in Georgia State and Kentucky for, like, run-specific plays. Like, that was his little thing he had going on. But that Arkansas game really opened my eyes that, like, he was not afraid, even as a backup, just come in and light it up. Like, he was throwing those deep balls in the Arkansas game, came in and lit up against Tulane. And then I feel like it was one of those things where it's like when LSU came to town, there was the big discussion, who do you go with? I've always been a believer that, especially in college, you got to ride the hot hand. You got to ride all the momentum until it's just gone.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree. I mean, when he came in Arkansas, I was the most impressed by just how he gelled with the offense. With the backup, I was expecting, you know, a couple drives, a couple slow drives, let him sort of warm up. But it was just off the jump, really good, clean. I mean, and beating LSU, like, that's something that Jackson Dart couldn't do that at LSU, of course, different scenario. But still, a lot of quarterbacks, they see that LSU and they just sort of freeze. And I think Trinidad really just sort of saw that and was like, it's just another game, just another time, just another down.
Yeah. I would say, so I was lucky enough to be able to go to that Georgia game this year that was in Athens. And just, even though it was a loss, just seeing how he went into his first ever road SEC environment, one of the craziest stadiums in America. Like, it's one of the top stadium pulses in the college football game because it just has that history of being a rowdy stadium. Comes in and just absolutely lights up through three quarters. And I think it really just shows, like, the maturity of, like, when you have played that many games at any level of football that you can still come in and perform.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was at that game, and it was loud. And it was loud. I wouldn't say Ole Miss has lost that as much as we just ran out of time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there are only four quarters in a football game, but just to have that sort of mindset of I'm going in, I don't care where we're playing, and I'm going to ball out, it's crazy. And he did. He balled out. I mean, probably the best first half we've had offensively all year, and we lost, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But it's just, it was inspiring to see him just sort of go crazy from the jump. And I was really impressed by it. That's sort of when I, you know, locked in, like, all right, we could do this. We could make a run, you know.
So now looking at where we are, so that the big part of our schedule was obviously once we beat LSU, we knew we had to split Oklahoma, Georgia. In order to make the playoff, we had to have a split. And we ended up doing that. We got the road win over Oklahoma. So, now that we're at a bye week and then you have the Egg Bowl next, and that's it for the regular season, what is one thing that you're looking forward to improve or just the biggest glaring issue that you see right now that needs to be fixed?
I definitely think sort of in the more recent weeks, we've had trouble getting off the jump. We could probably get off the jump a little bit more, you know, just sort of start in attack mode. And really, I mean, of course, with lower opponents or opponents that we don't think are great, it's sort of hard to get off the mat. I think this coaching staff has done a great job at that. And really, it's one more game left. And I think it is sort of a do-or-die game, just with our strength of schedule. It's not the strongest. Of course, not really our fault, it's what the SEC gives us. But, yeah, it's just do-or-die, and I think we should probably improve. Just get off the jump. If we get off the jump, I think we'll be fine in Starkville on Black Friday.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it because you just saw they did to Bama. I mean, Bama lost a close game to Oklahoma and they got dropped 7 spots all the way down. And so now they have to win in Jordan-Hare in order to make the playoff. I think the committee was really like sending a message there. But then again, it's like LSU completely collapsed from what we thought they would be to this point. But then for me, it's just, can the defense be consistent? I feel like the second half of that Florida game, they really locked in. They really held down the ship. But it's just, can we not give up those lapses at times, like the big plays, and just be able to... Because I feel like with this type of offense, if you can just give us a stop a quarter, and just let us be able to go, we can really put the pressure on teams and make their offense have to chase us.
Right, definitely. And I think you sort of saw the defense's lapses definitely in like Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Florida, where it was a lot of big plays. It was a lot of sort of one or two explosive plays, you know, not real long drives that cost us. And I think really cutting back on that is where this football team can really reach its height, definitely. And, of course, it's going to be hard in Starkville. You know, there's going to be a lot of people there. It's going to be loud with all the cowbells and really just seeing how this defense sort of responds to that noise and responds to all the noise this week on the field and off, really just getting off the mat is what I would love to see.
Yeah, so I'm new to the Egg Bowl, but from Kentucky, we have the Louisville-Kentucky game. So rivalry games are a different type of game. It's a game where you can't just, no matter how bad one side is, no matter how good one side is, I was looking back at the history of it, and it's like we were ranked 20th a couple of years ago, and we still lost to Mississippi State. Like, you got to be able to show up and play a four-quarter dogfight. I mean, even last year when we were so much better than them, it was still a tight game, a 26-14 game. And so you always got to be able to get up for those types of games.
Yeah, and I think State's a better team than their record, definitely. They probably should have more wins. They just haven't really been able to close out some of those games.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be another dogfight. I really do. You know, it just... I think State's more motivated. I think they get 2 weeks, and it's more of 2 weeks to show them, you know, we deserve to make a bowl game. We're here. We're the better team in the state. And for us, I think it's going to be sort of not hard, but harder to be motivated for the game, definitely. And I think that's probably one thing what the portal takes away is really the intensity of rivalries. Yeah. You know, you got a lot of players who are just sort of here on a contract and really don't know anything. It's just another game for them. And I'm sure there are some players who don't look at it like that, but there's not really as much trash talk on the field or really just sort of that vulgarity that there was before the portal.
Yeah, that's something that NIL has kind of shifted, just because, like, you're almost getting rentals at this point for some players. Like, they come in as a junior or whatever, and then they're gone to the NFL.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
But so, as we, let's say we win against Mississippi State, we're going to the playoff. Have you seen the bracket? Have you seen the 12-team bracket?
Right, I have. I think right now it has us hosting Miami, I think.
Yeah.
6 seed.
So let's just say it is Miami. They have to come to Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. How would you see a hypothetical matchup against that Miami team going for this Ole Miss team?
Well, it'll certainly be a redemption game for Carson Beck, their quarterback. Miami, they're really good in the trenches. I think they're probably better than us in the trenches. I think where we win is just sort of having that home field advantage and sort of just capitalizing off explosives. That's the coaching matchup I would love to see, though, Kiffin versus Cristobal. And I think it'd be an interesting matchup if Miami makes it. I mean, Miami's not even projected to make the ACC championship game, but it's interesting to what, it's not who I'd want to play, but it's interesting to see what the committee will do.
Yeah, I mean, because here's the thing, I still feel like Miami, because I'm a Louisville fan, I watched most of them when they lost to Louisville. That was because Carson Beck threw four interceptions, and he hasn't really done that since. That was just a Carson Beck lapse game. And then they lost a tight game to SMU. Roster for roster, they're still one of the most talented rosters in the country. Like, you can't take that Miami team for granted. So you can't take any team in the playoff for granted. Even, like, a Group of Five team could still come up and shock you. So you got to, like, be able to just play your game.
Oh, I totally agree. I think Miami does really well as they control the tempo. They sort of get ahead, and they just sort of stay there. I mean, they'll go really, really slow. I think that's the one scenario which would really lead them to victory over us in the playoff, considering all things go well. I like the matchup versus Beck. I think sort of Golding and that defense staff knows what to do with him and knows how to confuse him. It's more on off if the offense can really get going or if the O-line and D-lines can really hold up. Because you saw in that Florida game, the D-line really got no pressure. Our first sack was with about 50 seconds left in the entire game.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see how that'll end up shaking out. But I got to ask you about the big headline that's going on right now, and that is our head coach, Lane Kiffin. Obviously, though, ever since Billy Napier was fired, there's been speculation from anyone who has a phone just saying something. Obviously, Lane hasn't said anything official. You hear reports from Twitter. What is your overall, I want to say, feeling about this whole thing, and then what do you think Lane will do?
It's an uneasy feeling for sure. I mean, there's been so many headlines. It's almost tenfold as if it ever have been. I do think that best case scenario, he stays. I think he will stay. I'm not worried about Florida as much as I am LSU. I think LSU definitely is a tier above Florida in brand recognition. But the question is, does he want to stay and, you know, help work on this brand that he's built over the last 6 years and really built into one of the top five brands in the SEC, in my opinion. Really a household name. You know, if you look back 6 years ago and someone's talking about Ole Miss, you're sort of thinking of, oh yeah, sort of a middling program in the SEC. And ever since he's come in, he's revitalized it really and just brought an entire new identity and brand to this program. But I think he stays. I really do think he stays. I think he loves attention. So I think he's getting a bunch of attention right now, which, you know, is good and bad. But, yeah, you can't go on Twitter right now. Twitter's probably the worst app to have, or X now, because you're seeing different story after different story, you know, and no one really knows what's true.
Yeah, so talk about what you just said. I have buddies sending me different things on Twitter about new reports. I'm like, listen, we can speculate on this all we want. Until I hear it from Keith Carter or Lane himself, I'm not really going to believe anything. But overall, my feeling, so I'm new to this, but I watched the documentary ESPN released on Lane Kiffin, the E60. I really felt like he has made genuine change here because of Oxford. It's probably the smallest stop he's been to in a long time on his coaching journey. And for me, I just feel like you were able to bring your family back. He's moved his whole family back to Oxford. He's rebuilt this program. He was able to rebuild his name under Ole Miss at Keith Carter's dime. For me, I would like to see him not do what happened at Tennessee, what happened to all these other places. You have a fan base that loves you. And then to talk about the other places, Florida's been trash. They really haven't done anything in the last decade that's really of note. And then LSU, it feels like ever since Ogeron left, they've kind of just been dysfunctional. And so you have the governor jumping in there, doing all the sorts of things. I just feel like overall, you have the keys to the car at Ole Miss, and you can put whoever you want in that car here. At LSU, you're not going to have that type of power, even though they're gonna tell you that. You're not going to have that type of power in LSU.
Yeah, with LSU and the governor getting involved, it looks crazy. I mean, LSU really seems like they don't really know what's going on, and they don't even have an AD right now, so it makes it a lot harder to hire him, but I wonder if they're going to go AD first or coach second or coach first, then AD, which I would find really interesting. And I think that one thing that Ole Miss has that Florida and LSU really don't is sort of we can put up with sort of Lane's quirkiness, I think, sort of Lane's gimmicks more than they would be able to. I think expectations is also probably a big difference. I mean, the expectations are really high now, but Lane could go 7-5, 8-4 here, and I don't think you're going to see as much of an outburst as you would if you went to LSU or Florida and went 7-5 or 8-4.
That's my biggest thing right there. You look at these teams like a Florida, or you look at it like an LSU, right? Kelly didn't necessarily have them playing bad football. Like, they weren't a bad team. They were just running into some really good teams. Like, Vandy's a really good team this year. Ole Miss is a really good team this year. Obviously, LSU expects to win those games. Then you have Garrett Nussmeier coming into this year hurt. Like, I feel like Kelly was kind of dealt a bad hand of just bad luck coming into this season, really. He beat a Clemson team when they were at their best, when they were ranked really high at Clemson. I just feel like those expectations, like in a Florida or in an LSU, if you don't get off the ground immediately and you aren't putting yourself in a playoff position, you're going to hear nonstop banter from these Florida and LSU fans.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I thought LSU has probably had the strongest quarterback in Nussmeier at the beginning of the season. And it looks now that he's probably not going to play again this season at all. But it's crazy. I think Kelly maybe got fired just because of his character more than anything. I think they were just sort of fed up with him being sort of a more Midwest guy than he was really an LSU guy, which is even crazier to me because he was doing good. I mean, if Kelly was having the season that he was at Ole Miss, that he was having at LSU, we wouldn't even talk about firing him. we would probably blame it on like injuries or bad luck, maybe a coordinator change. But I find it like almost crazy that they fired him. Now Napier, probably a different story. His writing was probably on the wall as early as last season. But still, I mean, that was an early firing for an SEC program.
Yeah. And so, like, how I look at this with Lane, really, is I just don't – with how good Lane is in the portal and how the landscape of football has changed, it's not so much as 10 years ago how big brand was. I feel like that's completely shifted because we all know how good Lane is in the portal. So, like, think about like this. LSU no head coach. Florida no head coach. Who's to say Lane can't just go take their players and bring them to Oxford?
Right, that's a great point. I mean, he definitely can. And you're going to have a lot of talent in the portal. It's going to be a crazy portal season with Auburn and Arkansas, who have guys. Maybe not as many as LSU.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize, maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Florida do, but they have guys definitely, and I don't know why he would leave, really, for that reason only. I mean, no matter if he goes to LSU or Florida, you're still going to have some players enter the portal and leave just because, you know, that's not what they signed up for. And really, for the Grove Collective, it's going to be a big off season. I mean, I know they like to say there is no off season; they raise money consistently, but it's going to be a big off season.
Yeah. And honestly, one direction to look at this is, you said earlier, Lane loves attention. That's been a thing that's been known. If you watch the documentary, you know he loves the spotlight. I almost wonder if he's used this as a leverage tactic, because he'd be crazy not to take a peek at these jobs just because of how, like, the historic brand behind them at the end of the day. I just wonder if he's using it as a leverage tactic. But at the end of the day, I feel like Ole Miss is going to give him whatever he wants. And they're also going to, like you said, put up with the BS that he is going to spew at times.
Definitely. I think Kiffin will probably come out of this being the highest paid head coach, or at least matching Kirby or something like that, which is crazy that Ole Miss would have one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid head coach. And really, to go back to the documentary, we're going to see if it's more of like, to quote like Pete Thamel said this, but it's either a love letter to Ole Miss or sort of a thank you for all that you've done sort of note to Ole Miss. And I think it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, not only that, but a couple of days, really. I mean, it's really hit ahead since Sunday night, or really since Saturday night, since his press conference.
Yeah, so something I found interesting was that ultimatum that they released, that was on Monday, and then on Tuesday, Kiffin goes on McAfee, and he says it's not true. What I find interesting about that ultimatum is this. Lane, let's say the ultimatum's true, because obviously Lane's not going to say that it's true. Let's say that ultimatum's true, right? How much does Lane care about winning and taking this team that he's built and leading them into the playoff versus dropping it and going somewhere else for another job?
Yeah, and I think he says the ultimatum's not true. It probably is not called that. It's probably called a, hey, let's figure this out, you know, before people start coming for our throats and offering you crazy money and offering our players crazy money. But, a playoff team, like, isn't that all that you want as a head coach, is a chance for the championship? And it seems like he has that now. My prediction, I think he will coach in the playoff if we make it, no matter what. So I think he's set in stone there. But man, it's getting crazy. It's getting crazy. I would be dumbfounded if he leaves before the playoff. And I understand why maybe, you know, the AD and the chancellor and all that, why the administration might want him gone, you know, to start a new head coaching search. But he's the identity of the program, and I think he has to stay on for the playoff for us to even have a sparkling chance.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that for sure. But one thing I kind of looked at before the ultimatum was even discussed or brought up in any aspect was, let's say we get that home playoff game. Then we win that playoff game. Well, our next game would not be until like December 28th, right? Portal opens, what, January 6th? And there's only one portal window now? Let's say, because I know Knox said this on some sort of interview or whatever, where he said his dad was not really going to think about it till the end of the year. Well, if that were to stand true, he has, what, 8 days to really think about it and give consideration? Because if you're going to be the head coach somewhere and you only have 8 days of portal work...
Yeah, and really in college football, there is no offseason because you have signing day even before that January portal. You have signing day just in the middle of the playoff. And so that's a big part of recruiting and a really fundamental part of recruiting at programs like Florida and LSU, where they're not as dependent on the portal. They want to get these blue chip guys in as fast and as early as possible. And it's going to be interesting. I mean, just like human nature, I think you just take a look no matter what, wherever you are, whenever it is. I hope he doesn't fall victim to that. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be crazy. I mean, 8 days to make a decision like that is just impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, do I know that I've been looking at it really, you know, right now or, you know, during preparation weeks? I'm not sure. But, you know, does he ever just, like, sit there and maybe it's in the back of his mind? Maybe, yeah. I mean, that's how every coach is.
Yeah, ESPN just released an article 6 hours ago. Why we're about to find out if Al Davis was right about Lane Kiffin. And I feel like that's a very interesting, like, headline title to use because, you know, we saw what Al Davis said in the documentary about him, about, like, the Oakland Raiders. I feel like at the end of the day, this comes down to just the loyalty that Ole Miss has shown you. Like, they allowed you to rebuild yourself. And who says you can't win here? Like...
Yeah, I mean, he's won a ton of games here. We're in the playoff. I mean, we're, one play away from being in the playoff last year as well. Like, it's you can win here. I think maybe not in the 14 playoff and definitely not in the BCS, but you can definitely win here. And I think he's learning that as well. And I think if Kiffin saw that article, I think he would hate it. Yeah. I think he really hates Al Davis. But I think that's a crazy – that seems like a pro Ole Miss article. I'm not sure. But, you know, if he's Al Davis or if Al Davis is right if he leaves. But, you know, I mean, gosh, I do wish Kiffin will see that. He'll love that. But, yeah, it's going to be crazy. I mean, I can't get into his head. I don't know what he's thinking. But this is his longest tenure of any of his stops is here. And so, and I think he has his roots in the ground here more than any other program, even close to where he's been at before.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest takeaway that I've always, like, that I've told my parents is that my parents aren't from here. I'm the first one ever to come to Ole Miss. Is I said, look, seeing how happy he's been, especially moving his entire family, because if you remember, his family didn't move with him to Bama. They stayed in California. And then we all know how about Landry and the PowerPoint that happened. And now that he's moved everyone here to Ole Miss, it's also given him the chance to be a dad again. Like, for the first time in a really long time. I mean, you see him at all the Oxford High School games. You see him, like, you see Knox lighting it up. Like, I just feel like he's built so much here. And then, like, that there's just no, like, it wouldn't make sense to me to see him go.
Yeah, especially. I mean, it's really the first time he gets to really watch his kids. And it's not, you know, a recording on a video or on, like, FaceTime. And, I mean, I don't know if a PowerPoint presentation is going to work this time. Especially since I think... you know, the kids are definitely more established in Oxford and can, you know, survive if he leaves. But man, it'd be hard. I mean, he has his roots here. He moved his ex-wife here. I can't imagine how hard it is to get someone, to get your ex-wife to move to the same town you're living.
And she just built a new house here.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely.
Okay, so obviously you're an Oxford native. There's been some great players. You got the Mannings have a great legacy here. You have an abundance of players that have walked this path. What would a national championship mean to Ole Miss and the city of Oxford?
Yeah, I mean, it would be unimaginable. I mean, I think the city would probably burn down. I mean, that's really success unprecedented. I think maybe my grandfather saw them win the national championship in like 1962. And back then, there really was, you wouldn't know. They would just vote on it, and when the vote came out, you'd be like, all right, we're national champions. But it would mean a lot. It would sort of establish, you know, Ole Miss as not an afterthought and sort of, you know, a prominent program in SEC and really the country, for a matter of fact.
Yeah, I mean, the square already gets crazy enough when you beat a Georgia, when you beat... If this place were to win a national championship, I think you would see controlled chaos like that you would never see before.
Yeah, we'd probably have a freshman class of about 10,000. I mean, enrollment would skyrocket. People would buy it. You know, really the economy of Oxford would boom, and it already has really boomed under Kiffin. But I can't imagine. I mean, the square would probably be a ghost town, or not a ghost town, like would look like a ghost town for how much damage would be done. Like, it'd be crazy. It'd be hard to find one beer left unopened, I bet, after that.
Yeah, I bet you would see, like, bar covers, like, in the thousands of dollars if we were to win a national championship.
National championship bar cover of probably $300 just to watch the game.
So, I want to talk about Kevon Lacy for a second. He transferred in from Missouri. Even in the video game, he's, like, the second highest rated running back on the team. What do you make of his success and the fact that now we have, like, now that we don't have, because when Kiffin's been here, obviously he had Quinshon Judkins before he left. Now seeing that we have, like, multiple ways we can attack it, whether it's through the air or now on the ground, how do you feel like his presence just makes it all that much more dangerous of an offense?
Yeah, I think it makes it very dangerous. I mean, last year was sort of the first year in a while that there wasn't really a guy to hand the ball off to. And I think with him being the highest-rated player on NCAA, that's really a sort of a testament to our scouting. I think our scouting's done great this year in the portal. I think we've had mostly hits with Kiwan and Trinidad. And really, I think he's a dual-threat guy. Like, he's crazy good in the backfield. He stays on his feet for a small guy. Like, he's not the biggest guy. He stays on his feet like crazy, and he's hard to bring down. I think he's been really impressive, and the way we've used him I think is really impressive as well.
Yeah, and, like, I feel like there's, like, I've watched Ole Miss teams before. Like, I've seen the little Jackson Dart era, how everyone kind of, like, fell in love with him. I just feel like there's something different about this team. Just, like, the story of how Trinidad came in, and you see all the, you go around to Oxford, you see all the Trinidad Tobago flags everywhere, and now you see how Kevon Lacy started the belt trend. It really feels like this team just mean something more to the city this year.
Yeah, I think that the team is just sort of, there's no big face on the team. Like, I would say people around Ole Miss, students, residents of Oxford, they know the team more than really the country does. And I think, like, with past teams, it has been sort of this way, but Kiffin has been the head of the team. And I think that sort of makes the team more unified and really just sort of makes the town, you know, rally around them a lot more than they would if, say, a quarterback or a running back or a defensive tackle was, like, the main guy. There's no really main guy. Anyone can be explosive. Anyone can make a big tackle. I think that's what makes this team special.
I mean, to your point, you see in the receiver room, really, like, we have so many receivers that are so good. Like, one game it could be Stripling. One game it could be Deuce. One game it could be Wallace. Or, I mean, when he had a big game against Oklahoma, like, it could be, we're just so deep, I feel like, at, like, positions like that, to where it really doesn't matter, like, who's having a big game. I think that's so big for a football team.
Oh yeah, it's really roll of the dice, you know, whatever it lands on, that's who you're going to throw it to. And I think that's great. I mean, I think that keeps defense sort of on their toes. I mean, if anything, like, I think Stribling has looked great, probably the most impressive. Trey Ross looked really good at the beginning of the year. So I think defense has probably honed in on him a little bit more. And then Deuce is explosive. And then Winnie, I mean, Winnie's probably, he should be freshman All-American first team. He's been great. He's only 18 years old, and he's looked like a veteran out there.
I mean, I didn't even mention Caden Lee's name. He was here last year, and he's still been killing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Lee's great as well. I mean, I think also defenses, you know, they knew Lee from last year, and so they recognize the name. Like, all right, we got to watch out for the one returning name on this wide receiver core. Besides Daquan Wright, you know, who's been awesome as well. But really, I think it's just sort of like an abundance of options to throw the ball to.
Yeah, and I mean, the one thing I want to see us, like, really perfect for the playoff run is I feel like Trinidad, he's kind of leaned away from his running ability a little bit. I feel like there's times, I feel like in that Florida game where when he threw that one pick, he had a lot of room to run there, and I feel like he's kind of fallen into, like, the pass-happy type of, like, he likes to pass it more than run at times. And I feel like that's still an element he needs to use for us to, like, be at our best is when he can run the ball.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was his legs that somehow, you know, won us that Washington State game. And I think he's probably pass heavy. You know, I'm sure he's taken some hits that he's not really a fan of, especially going against two, you know, sort of stellar D lines in a row besides the Citadel, you know, South Carolina and Florida. And I think he'll settle in, you know. A bye week's great right now. You know, everyone gets a little healthier, can come back. It would have been a short week if there was no bye week, and I think that probably doesn't play to our strength. But I think, you know, my one thing with Trinidad, he has some low balls, so you'll see his balls are typically lower than the average quarterback. But, you know, of course, that just comes with his height. But, yeah, once the O-line really sort of solidifies their position on the field and really gets guys moving – on the D-line, I think Trinidad will probably go back to that running game. I'm not sure about this week. I don't think State's D-line's the greatest. But maybe if we make the playoff, in the playoff, you can definitely, you know, go back to sort of the old ways, really the Arkansas Trinidad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a great point as well. I mean, I just think if he can really utilize all his ability, that's the biggest thing. And he has NFL tendencies. Like, the way, like, that one throw he made down the sideline, I forget who it was to, but there was two Florida defenders, he just roped it right into that small window. Like, I feel like that's the difference between him and Austin, is watching Austin, it kind of looked a little shaky at times in those first two games, but then just seeing Trinidad come in, and, like, he plays the game with no fear, really, but it's like a controlled environment type of thing. Like, he just trusts himself to make those decisions.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, that was a great pass. I want to say it was to Caden Lee, and I thought it was going to be intercepted. But, I mean, he really wired it in there. And you'll see that from him. You'll see, like, sort of a bad pass or a low pass, and you'll see one that's just like, how do you even see that guy was going to be open? You know, that one that everyone replays from the LSU game, and then one to Winnie, I remember, from the Oklahoma game. And, yeah, and with Austin, I think Austin probably is not as level-headed. I think he's a little bit more nervous going into his, like, progressions, you know, more focused on not messing up than just balling out. And I think Trinidad, you know, he's been around. He's played a lot of football. He's been in high-stakes games, like the D2 National Championship. Yeah. So I think he sort of has that level-headedness and knows, you know, look, I know I trust my abilities. Let's go through these progressions. If I don't see anything, we'll be all right.
Yeah. And then just last thing, what are you expecting environment-wise if Ole Miss gets it done and we're able to host a playoff game? What are you expecting from what would be the last home game of the year?
Yeah, I think it's going to be crazy. I mean, we broke the attendance record for Florida. I think we could break it by easily 3,000. I think it would probably be the craziest environment in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium history. I just can't imagine. It would honestly, it might bring a tear to my eye. It looks so great. I mean, it would be loud, too. I think you sort of see that early in the year, you know, I think there's sort of the older fans aren't as loud as they usually are. But I think for Florida, definitely, and definitely for a playoff game, you're on your feet the entire game just yelling. it's going to be crazy. And it's a chance to really show off the environment too, because it's a nationally broadcast game. And I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, I think that'll be a huge game just for like, everything Ole Miss and Oxford in general, because, you know, we didn't have game day. We didn't have the SEC Network come down here this year. But I just feel like it'll really get to showcase everything. And I feel like this is what Ole Miss fans have been just starving for. Because last year we were so close under Dart and them, but we probably still would have gotten a home game. And just how this season's unfolded completely and how we're this close now, I feel like this place is going to go absolutely, like, bonkers.
Yeah, that's probably what Ole Miss has most in common with Kiffin, is they both love attention. It's really that more attention is just going to make it explode. And I think it would be crazy, you know, have one more game on the schedule, but, you know, assuming we handle business, it probably will be the best environment in Ole Miss football history.
1,000%. Henry, thank you for coming on. This has been another episode of the Uncensored Podcast. I'm Carter Haas.
Yeah, and I'm Henry Heinemann. Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir, Henry.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.